Amen. Thank you so much, Ms. Katie, Pastor Mark, for your ministry to us. I believe, if I'm right on that, Ms. Katie, that our missionaries, the Craigs, wrote that song and sing that song. They lost a son, Wesley, in 2005 to a grand mal seizure. And through that, wrote that beautiful song that you just enjoyed. Just amazing, amazing. We're in a series of 4 weeks. This is our third week on the subject of stewardship. And from the Bible, I can tell you that stewards handle that which belongs to another. That's the job of stewards. They take care of that which belongs to another. Stewards in the Bible are commanded to be faithful. The Bible says it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Stewards are to minister. 1 Peter 4:10 tells us, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The Bible says in Matthew 10:8, freely ye have received, freely give. Amen. Here we have the parable of the servants in Matthew chapter 25. And again, just by way of review, we have here a wealthy man, and he entrusts to three of his own servants a particular amount of his goods. He gives one 5 talents, and sometimes we think, well, he gave him 5 little gold coins. You ought to do your Bible research a little bit. A talent was a pretty good size weight of gold, and it was worth a lot. And he gave to one 5, and he gave to one 2, and he gave to one 1, and the one who he gave 5 to, and then he went on his journey, amen. And then the one he gave 5 to went and increased and made 5 more for his master. The one he gave 2, amen. The one he gave 2 to also, amen, he increased by 2. But the one he gave 1 to went and buried it in the earth. I preached a message, I think, the year before last on that very thought later in that passage on there thou hast that is thine. And the one who had the 1 just gave this dirty coin back to his master. And I think that's how some of us are going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. God wanted to use our lives to reach other people, and all we're going to have to say is, well, I guess you can just have back. Since you saved me, you can just have back my dirty life. It's too late then. It's too late. Now's the time to serve God. Amen. Now's the time to help somebody along life's way. Amen. And so, but then the key to this passage, and particularly on stewardship, is this. Verse 19 that we read in Matthew 25, it says, and after a long time, he cometh and reckoneth with them. Ladies and gentlemen, 2,000 years ago, hallelujah, Jesus Christ died on the cross. 2,000 years ago, minus 3 days, Jesus Christ rose from the grave. Amen. And today, he's alive and willing to save anyone. Thank God. Amen. But the Bible says he's going to come back. Glory to God, he's going to call his children home. And there won't be any more pain or sickness or suffering or death or cancer or crippled children home. There won't be any of that. We'll be in heaven for all eternity. But before that takes place, we're going to stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I don't think we're going to stand long, Brother Case. I think we're going to lie prostrate on our faces, weeping. And he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? That's why we preach these messages on stewardship. We started out a couple of weeks ago and we preached out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6 on the stewardship of self. And the stewardship of self. And you remember there we had that inquisition, we had that separation, we had the recognition there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we have to recognize that if we're going to steward ourselves, by the way, this body is not yours. Your body is not yours. It belongs to Almighty God. How do you know, Pastor? Well, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which ye have, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We talked about how if we're going to ever in our lives steward this body correctly, we're going to have a recognition that this is the temple of God, of the graciousness of God, of the ownership of God, and of the redemption of God. We talked about how we should glorify God through surrender and self-denial and knowing that our body and our spirit are God's. That was our first message 3 weeks ago. Our second message last week was on the stewardship of silver. The stewardship of our money. And just a matter of saying that we looked at some perceptions, and one of the perceptions is that money is evil. Listen, it's not. It's not. I've known people to build hospitals with money, and there have been people to build houses of ill repute with money. Thank God we can use our... I look back there at that missions figure every week, and every week it blesses my soul. Look back there and say, our missionaries need $5,600. We need $5,600 every month to keep our missionaries on the field. This month, in the first 3 weeks of the month, we have $6,201 out there with another week to go. Glory to God. That's people using their money for the cause of Christ. And we talked about how money's not evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. We talked about how money can present spiritual dangers. It can lead to pride. It can lead to covetousness. It can lead to a lot of things. And we talked about some realizations, again, coming back to that theme of our ownership of God and our accountability to God. And then we talked about some financial decisions. And A, number one, is to obey God in the matter of the tithe. The tithe is the Lord's. Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with the first fruit of all thine increase. Read Malachi chapter 3. I didn't write it. I just recite it. He said, you've robbed me. How have you robbed me? In tithes and offerings. And so the tithe is the Lord. But then to allow God to use you in offerings. I think of times in our church. Times in our church where somebody right here in our midst was hurting. I mean hurting. Maybe lost their job. I know they're not here anymore. And the truth is, I don't know why, folks. But I remember when Brother Randall Easterling was in the hospital for a long time. Yeah. And by the way, don't be bitter about that. God moves people around. I know that. We help them. Yeah. Listen, I remember another time. Other families that right here, the Beckers are here. We were able to help Lem and Katie another time. And others in our church that needed help. How did we do that? We said, folks, let's have an offering. Let's have an offering. And you know what? You precious people gave. Gave. That's part of stewardship. You'll never be sorry you gave an offering to help another brother or sister. What does the Bible say in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, after it talks about sowing and reaping, after it talks about be not weary in well doing, it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto those that are of the household of faith. Today we're talking about the stewardship. We looked at the stewardship of self, looked at the stewardship of silver. This week we're looking at the stewardship of seconds, or our time. Imagine, if you will with me, that there's a bank that credits your account each morning with $86,400. Glory to God, I want to be a part of that bank, amen. I'll take a debit card, hallelujah, amen. It carries over no balance from day to day. Every evening deletes whatever part of the balance you failed to use during the day. What would you do? I'll tell you what I do, Miss Judy. I draw out every cent. You want to talk about missionaries would be calling me every hour around here. Amen. I draw out every cent. You know, each of us does have such a bank. It's called time. Every morning, it credits you with 86,400 seconds. And every night it writes off as lost whatever you have failed to invest in God's good purpose. And it carries over no balance. It allows no overdraft. Each day opens a new account for you. Each night it burns the remains of the day. If you fail to use the day's deposits, the loss is yours. There is no going back. There is no drawing against tomorrow. You must live in the present on today's deposits. Invest it so as to get from it the utmost in health, happiness, and success in the Lord's will. The clock is running. Make the most of today. Our text is Psalm 90, verse 12. I mentioned that the Lawleys are 13 today, and they share a birthday with my son Luke. My son Luke is 7. And by the way, he looks up to you guys. I know you share a birthday, but he looks up to you. You are to him what the older kids here were to you 6 years ago, that you looked up to. Isn't it amazing how that works, church? Amen. But I remember that day that Luke was born. We'd come here in September, that last weekend of September in 2009, and the church was so gracious to not only vote us as their pastor, but then give us 2 months, because my wife was 36 weeks pregnant with Luke when we came out here, and we had a 17-month-old named Eric at that time. And I remember when the day came for Luke to be born, we had scheduled Carrie to be induced that day, and I remember I was preparing a series on Jude all day. That was one of the first series I preached here at Loomis. I was just sitting there writing out titles of messages, and my wife's just going through the pangs of birth, amen, just getting uncomfortable. And then they started coming in more often. And they said, can you move around a little bit? And they had a meter on her to read the baby's heart rate. And it was supposed to be about 140 beats per minute, and it was going down. And it finally got to 70 beats per minute. And they came in, a team of nurses and doctors came in, and they clicked the brakes off that bed. And I didn't even know the bed was on wheels, just to show you how aloof husbands can be, amen. They had that thing on wheels, and they pushed me out of the way and threw the scrubs at me and said, get changed. You know, and I was like, oh, what's going on here? And they wheeled my wife in, and then the nurse came out and told me, said, the cord is wrapped around your baby's neck, and it's cutting off the blood flow, and his heart rate is going down, and we're giving your wife 5 minutes to push that baby out. 5 minutes. They said, and if she doesn't push him out, we're going to have to do an emergency cesarean section. And I remember my wife, who was only 8 centimeters dilated at the time, and you ladies know that's not enough. And she pushed that little boy out. I'll never forget, he came out, he was purple. It scared me so bad. When they threw the scrubs at me, Brother Tom, I prayed. I just prayed. I didn't know what else to do. Yeah. By the way, it's wonderful when that happens to you in your life, when you don't know what else to do and you pray. It's wonderful. You know, when I didn't know what, before I got saved, when I didn't know what to do, I wouldn't pray. I'd say some things. But after I got saved, I prayed. And I remember praying and said, oh Lord, please. Please. And he came out and he was purple. And there was no cry. I'm telling you, if you've ever been there, there's no cry. And I'm waiting. And it seemed like forever, Miss Carol Ann, but it wasn't. Probably about 15 seconds. And then all of a sudden, if for you Looney Tunes fans out there, my son did a Giovanni Jones. Oh! Amen. And I said, glory to God. And they went over and they said, do you want to hold him? And I said, no. His mother gets to hold him first. Yes. She did all the hard work. Amen. So the horse, I blinked. And he's 7. And you folks know, and we have parents here, you spend time with your children, you do things with them, but he's 7. You know, Brother Don, Miss Jennifer, you blinked, and Amanda is gone with a family of her own. Just that I have quoted this verse more times than I could probably have quoted any other verse, except for maybe Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. That's what this message is all about. The stewardship of our seconds. The stewardship of our seconds. A sister verse is found in Ephesians 5:16. Let me just read it to you. It says, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Let me give you, if I could, this morning, number one, some responses to numbering our days. When you and I say, and maybe those of us that are a little older, I've kidded for a little while. I got a couple milk stains in my beard now, amen. And some of you have milk stains all over your head, like somebody poured a jug right over your head, amen. But responses to numbering our days. You say to a young person, "Boy, you ought to steward your time well. You ought to steward." And sometimes they'll say, "Well, I've got my whole life ahead of me." You know, most of the grave markers in a cemetery are for older people. Not all of them. Not all of them. I've attended funerals from anywhere from that lived for a day. I had a friend who had a baby that lived for 5 hours. No dash, just a date. And then I've been to funerals of 10-year-olds. I've been to funerals of 18-year-olds, I've been to funerals of 22-year-olds, I've been to funerals of 30-year-olds, you name it. How about this one? In responses, number one, responses to numbering our days. I'll get to it later. Later never comes. I've got plenty of time. I don't really need to do it right now. Sounds like my kids when I tell them to clean their room, amen. I'll start it after. It's not the right time. It's not really that important. Something came up. I've got too much else to do right now. Responses to numbering our days. Let me give you a couple roadblocks to numbering our days. Number two, roadblocks to numbering our days. Luke 16:1 says, "And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods." Proverbs 18:9 says, "He that is slothful in his work is a brother to him that is a great waster." You know, God is not a fan of waste of any kind, but particularly a waste of time. Someone has well said, "You can't waste time without killing eternity." Let me give you, and again, these are just a few modern roadblocks to redeeming the time. If you were to live 60 to 70 years, you will spend 10 years watching the television. Some of you, it's time to turn that box off. Yeah. Amen. Now, this is an old statistic. I bet it's gone up since this, but some will spend 3 years on the web, just surfing. I'd say that's gone up tremendously since the advent of YouTube. Because I know I sat there and watched a 3-minute video and said, "Boy, I just wasted 3 minutes of my life right there. I'll never get back." Emailing, sports. I don't even have the statistics on that. Hobbies. And again, I'm not against any of these things in their place. But listen, I'm not telling you not to enjoy life, but for the sake of eternity, don't waste time. Many of you have heard the old maxim, "Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last." Amen? Responses to numbering our days. There are some roadblocks to numbering our days, wasting time. How about some reasons for numbering our days? Reasons. First of all, time is flooding with evil. Time is flooding with evil. Again, Ephesians 5:16 says, "Redeeming the time." Why? Because the days are evil. Two of God's past judgments that shock us when we read them both contained in Genesis, are the flood of the world and the fire of Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember that God flooded the world. And why did He flood the world? The Bible says in Genesis 6:5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." You remember, He flooded the earth. And then 500 years later, just 500 years later, the Bible says in Genesis 13:13, "But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." Those must have been terrible days, ladies and gentlemen. Those must have been awful days and wicked days and days filled with sin and self-gratification and all that. But as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. As in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Listen, we need to redeem the time. We need to buy up the time because of the flooding of evil days. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7 is coming true right before our very eyes. Right here in this country. What does it say there? In the last days, perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own self, lovers of pleasures rather than lovers of God, covetous, boasters, truce breakers, and all that. And then really it sums up in 2 Timothy 3:13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse." So Christian, redeem the time. Redeem the time. Redeem the time. Why? Because time is flooding with evil. Can I give you something else? Secondly, time is not only flooding with evil, but it's flying by. I graduated from high school in 1990. Now, I know if you're Bill Merrill, that's not a long time ago. Amen. Bill Merrill graduated from high school when high schools were new. Amen. Okay. I'm just kidding with you, Brother Bill. They, by the way, him and his classmates have a reunion often. They get together but listen, I'll be 45 here in a couple of months. 1990s, what happened? I mean, it seems like I just graduated. Blondie and I this year have been married for 20 years. We got married in 1996. Again, I mean, it seems like we just got married. It literally seems like it was about 7-8 years ago that we got married. Time flies by. Ladies and gentlemen, time flies by. James 4:14 says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away." I say it every time I read that verse, but I love the sign language word, the ASL word for vapor. It's this. That's it. That's life. That's life. That's how quick it goes by. It seems like yesterday that I was a child playing wiffle ball. And by the way, was it Friday in prison? Brother Horsch, I didn't tell you this. It rained so bad we couldn't get out on the field. And so we had to go in the gym and we played wiffle ball in the gym. So Mom, all those years of saying, "Where's wiffle ball going to get you?" Hallelujah, it got people saved. Amen. Doesn't it seem like it, folks, that we were all just kids in those long shadowed days, waiting for our moms to say, "Come on in, it's getting dark." Time flies by. It flies by. Time is flooding with evil. It's flying by, but you know what else it is? It's fleeting. It's fleeting. John 9:4, Jesus said this. What a statement for those of us that are going to get to it later. And I don't know about you, some of us are procrastinators. I'm not a procrastinator. I'll just get to it tomorrow. You know, that's a procrastinator. Some people function well in procrastinating. They know that there's a deadline. I'll tell you what, you have somebody, maybe you're having a guest over to your house and you've been procrastinating on cleaning your house. Man, that Saturday, it's like, amen. The Mr. Clean ran through your house. Hallelujah. Jesus said this, John 9:4, "I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. For the night cometh when no man can work. Hey, you know what? Can't do this in heaven. Can't do this in heaven. Can't pray in heaven. No need to pray. Faith has become sight. Amen. You can't witness to somebody in heaven. Time is fleeting. I enjoy the sunsets. I really do. I love sunsets. I think about it. But it's a grim reminder of the end. Sunset leads to darkness. On December 1st, 2009, my dad passed away. After I'd just been here a couple of days, literally. And he was the first person in my immediate family that I lost. Grandparents, you know, aunts, uncles, but it was just me, mom, and dad. That's all. And I remember it struck me. Time is fleeting. It's flooding with evil. It's flying by. It's fleeting. And you know what else it is? Time is flowering. Flowering. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? 1 Peter 1:24 puts it this way. For all flesh is as grass. Huh. I mean, my flesh is like the grass. And then he explains it. In all the glory of man as the flower of grass. He says this. The grass withereth and the flower thereof falleth away. By the way, the next verse says, praise God, but the word of our God shall stand forever. But he says there, the grass withereth and the flower falleth away. A flower has a limited time. In the spring, it comes to life. In the summer, it becomes beautiful. In autumn, it begins to die. And in winter, it's gone. And that's the way our life is. It's flowering. I've wanted to preach for so long. The Lord has just never given me the liberty. And when I say given me the liberty, I mean given me the Bible text to preach from. Some people take liberty to preach that God didn't give them. Amen. Stick to the text. Stick to the text. But just wanting to preach on the seasons of life. The seasons of life. You know, springtime back there, Brother Brandon and Miss Allie. Springtime. Praise God. So little. Just waking up. Amen. Just waking up. You guys aren't just waking up. You're begging for sleep. Amen. But springtime of those childhood days. Amen. Just running around, enjoying yourself. And then comes summer. It gets hotter. You know, I think about the summer of our lives, maybe into our 20s. We start having our own children and just enjoying the warm part of life, that warm sun. And then you start to head toward your 40s and 50s and it becomes autumn. You start going to more funerals. Yeah. You do. You just, you know, things start hurting that didn't used to hurt. And all God's people said. And then what happens after fall? Winter. When everything around us is cold and... Just be quiet, Brother Case. Amen. Everything around us is cold, and we attend a lot more funerals in the winter of life. You know why? Because time is not only flooding and flying and fleeting, it's flowering. You know, there's a time where a rose blooms, and there's a time where it wilts. Talking about our time today, talking about redeeming the time, talking about the stewardship of seconds. You know, let me give you quickly, not only responses to numbering our days and roadblocks to numbering our days and reasons for numbering our days. Let me give you some requirements to numbering your days. You say, I want my life to count for God, Pastor. Let me give you some requirements. You know, a requirement is not something you can get out of. If it's required, you have to do it. We used to, when I played baseball, when I finished my baseball career, I was on the American Legion team, which was basically the all-star team in our town. They picked from four or five schools, and I was on the pitching staff. I was a lefty, threw about 80 miles an hour, which is not that fast, but when you're facing high school kids, it's pretty fast. And they used to require us for the Salmons to do, when the team was playing, we'd have to do hill climbs to strengthen our legs. It's required. You have to do it. And so we would begrudgingly do our hill climb. Hey, listen, if you want your life to count for Jesus, there's some requirements. Number one, you're going to have to begin prioritizing. prioritizing. You say, what does that mean, Pastor? Matthew 6:33 says, seek ye first. First the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. First. It's time for a quiz. Think about this. Think about if you have a mason jar, the big wide mouth mason jar. Just imagine that you could take several large rocks and put them in the jar. And when the jar is filled to the top and you couldn't fit any more rocks in there, you could say, young people, is this jar full? Most young people say, yeah, it's full. You can't fit any more rocks in there. Well, then you take a little bag of sand and you pour the sand in there. And you say, young people, is it full? They say, well, of course it's full. It's got all the rocks and sand. And then you pull out a bottle of water. And you pour that water in there. And then the water goes right up to the top. You say, well, now it's full. Now it's full. Say, what's the point of that illustration? You know what? It's that. You have to put the big rocks in or you'll never get them in at all. Then you put in the sand. Then you put in the water. Hey, listen. You know what the big rocks are in your life for God? You need to spend time every day in this book. You need to plan time to spend in this book. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, that is putting God first. You need to spend time in prayer. You need to schedule time to share Christ with somebody. You need to schedule time with your family. You need to schedule time to be part of a good local Bible preaching church. Amen. You need to schedule that time. Those are the big rocks. Years ago when Carrie and I were youth pastors at Mountain View Baptist Church, we used to go to this great Saturday youth rally. It was at a fairgrounds in Warwick, Rhode Island. And I remember the first time we went was the Saturday after 9/11. It was incredible. They were still looking for people in the rubble. And the preacher just preached a tremendous message about that. I remember coming back from, and I can't remember the year, but it was one of those. I think it may have been that first one. Carrie and I were driving back, and I was always real careful in the van. I was a great listener to teenage conversations. I had rabbit ears, you know. And you listen, every youth group has carnal kids, and every youth group has spiritual kids. What we want to do in our youth group is we want to make the carnal kids feel uncomfortable about being carnal and get spiritual. Amen. We want spirituality to permeate our youth. So the carnal kids are talking, and one of the most spiritual kids we had in our youth group was our pastor's son named Eric. We named our son after him. He's 15 years old. He's sitting in that middle seat in the van, and Carrie and I are sitting right here. And he said this to me, if Lord willing, I live to be 100 and don't get dementia or anything like that, I'll never forget this statement. He said, you know, Pastor, you're such a cerebral kid at 15. He said, you know, Pastor, I'm convinced that every decision I make is either going to lead me closer to God or farther from Him. And he said, so with God's help, I want to make the right decision every time. He lived to be 18 years old. He said that at 15. He only had 3 years to make right decisions. And he did. Over and over and over and over and over. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it's time to start prioritizing. It's time to start seeking first the kingdom of God. Not second, not third, not fourth, not fifth. God is not a spare tire that we pull out when we need Him. He deserves to be first. If you're going to live your life for God, give a good accounting of your stewardship, you're going to have to start prioritizing. You're going to have to start walking. I've got a message I'm working on right now about walking. Walking carefully, the Bible says, Ephesians 5:15, see then that you walk circumspectly. You're going to have to start prioritizing walking. You're going to have to start understanding, Ephesians 5:17, understanding what the will of the Lord is. For some, you need to repent and trust Christ. There may be here some today that are lost. You've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know what you need to do? You need to repent. You need to turn to Christ. You know what? He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. 2 Peter 3:9 says, if you're going to live your life as a good steward for God, you're going to have to read His Word. Oh, how I love Thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Psalm 119:97. Maybe we're going to have to start praying more. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, witnessing to others daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Acts 5:42. We're going to have to start gathering with God's people. Maybe you come on Sunday morning, but listen, God's been speaking to your heart about coming back on Sunday night and Wednesday night. Listen, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. Maybe it's this idea of presenting yourself to God. Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, I beg you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Oh, there's so much more. I think of the filling of the Spirit, church. Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. How do you do that? Romans 6:13 says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Singing, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I tell you what, I had such a time in Walmart a couple weeks ago. Walmart's a great. It's entertainment without turning on the television sometimes. Amen. It's people in their jammies. And I've been there at 11:30 at night. And people had 3- and 4-year-old kids. I'm like, why are those kids not in bed? Amen. And then there's been other little demonic children in the candy aisles. And you're like, I was whistling. I was in line, and I had just gotten a couple things, and I was whistling. I was whistling. And this sweet little lady next to me, I was white and she was black. Amen. And I said, she goes, I know that song. I said, there was a whole bunch of us around. I said, let's sing it. And I said, you got a hold to God's unchanging hand. And her daughter was with her, who was a choir leader. And she hit the harmony, Brother Horace. She said, you got a hold to God's unchanging hand. And I'm telling you, we had choir in Walmart. Amen. We had choir in Walmart. It was awesome. I said, look at us. Giant white guy, short black lady. Glory to God. We all love God. Amen. Hey, listen. You want to be a good steward of God? He's the one who said, speaking to yourselves in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs. Hey, I know we're going to do that in heaven. Might as well practice down here. Some of us need to practice. Amen. But what are we talking about here? We're talking about some requirements of making your life count for God. I think a requirement is thanking, not only singing, not only filling of the Spirit, not only understanding God's will, not only there, but thanking. It says right there in Ephesians 5, giving thanks always for all things. All things. How about submitting? Later in that passage in Ephesians 5:21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. What are some responses to numbering our days? Well, many times it's, I'll get to it later. Some roadblocks, some reasons, some reasons. Time is flooding and flying and fleeting and flowering. What are some requirements? We're going to have to start prioritizing. We're going to have to start walking. We're going to have to start understanding and being filling with the Spirit and singing and thanking and submitting one to another in the fear of God. I don't know about you. Me as a pastor, I want, when you're at the judgment seat of Christ, I want to say, when they start handing out the crowns, I want to say, yes, yes, I'm so glad they did it. Yeah. That time, you, the devil tried to convince you couldn't pass out of track. And the pastor and other people came around and said, you can do it. If I can do it, you can do it. You come with me. I'll show you how. And somebody got saved. And somebody up in heaven is going to say, I'm here because of a gospel track. And you thought you couldn't do it. And I don't know if it'll work like this or not. I don't know. I know we're going to stand before the Lord individually. I don't know if we'll all be here. I know wherever the Lord is, we are. Because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I don't know if maybe. The Bible talks about in Hebrews 13 about obey them that have the rule over you. It's talking about the pastor. And the reason is, it says, for they watch for your souls as they that must give an account. Yes. That they may do it with joy and not with grief. That I could look over and, I don't know, maybe, just use an example, maybe Jonathan Lawley, you passed out a track and you did so at the encouragement of your church and your parents, and the Lord gave you the soul winner's crown. And you looked over at me and said, that'd be awesome as a pastor. I'm telling you, it'd be awesome. Looking over at your mom and dad going like this, amen. One day we are going to stand before God. And we're going to give an account. And one of the things that I think we take for granted most is that we'll give account for our time. Yeah. Some of you, God has been so good to you with time and health. Time and health, giving you many days. Think about sweet Miss Madge back there in her 90s. Brother Herb, now in your 90s, amen. God's been so good to you. And thank God these have been good stewards of what God has given to them. Young people, may it be so with you. Life faithfulness is not measured in days or months or even years. Faithfulness is mentioned in decades. Decades. The stewardship of our seconds. Father, thank you.